Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Young Soup Arif, and I'm one of the lead students, along with Cartrell, of New York City, of these study sessions on the Real Talk for Real People show. Sessions that are designed to give you a bird's eye view
the solution to what all ails you, which is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. And as far as those solutions are concerned, with your Almighty, with one another, and with strangers, meaning different nations. But before we get started in these study sessions, as you know, I like to make ongoing commentary of subject matters that I feel that's important or should be important to us. I know that some of you may have heard, some of you may not have heard about the ongoing feud with the ex-basketball player Kwame Brown. He used to be of the Wizards when he was drafted as a teenager. An ongoing feud between Charlemagne, the so-called God, and A. Jackson, another sports commentator, Steven Jackson, used to be a player, used to be one of his teammates, and also I forget the other brother's name. And see, here's how broken we are. If you know anything about Kwame Jackson, you don't, I suspect. Kwame Jackson played, I think, 15 years in the National Basketball League. And as a center, a 7 feet tall fellow, he didn't bother nobody. And for all those years, he was a quiet fellow, minding his own business. And we hate to see that among one another. We hate to see one another mind our own business. And Kwame Brown was the type of fellow like that. So Charlemagne and some of his sidekicks and his clique thought he was a weak target because he didn't say very much. And they went out to attack him on one of their podcast show, talking about he was a bust. He never became what he should have been, and so on and so forth, and made disparaging remarks against his father, whom he never knew, and his brother, whom he never grew up with. And so this brother, they found out, was nobody to pick to play with. And he's been coming from all ends, only behind. You know, and so that's why you don't never meddle with people. You don't never pick at people because you don't know these people. You know what you see. And they're being entertainers in the entertainment business. They thought he was a soft target. Coming to find out, the brother wasn't soft at all, and he'd have made them look the fool. And see, that's the way we have become. We think each other is soft targets. Oh, let's pick Yum Soup to mess with. Let's pick Cartrell to mess with. Let's pick so-and-so or whatnot to mess with. See, you don't know what people are going through, and we're not definitely soft targets. And so never pick people to play with, because he's coming from all ends on their behinds and made them the fools that they turn out to be. And when you get your clicks and so-called, you think that's going to give you some shelter when you pick people to play with. And each have shown them he's nothing to play with. And he's definitely an out of bus. And I agree with him when he said anybody that plays in the NBA is not a bus, especially if he paid for 15 years and made $66 million. I don't consider that a bus. I don't consider very many people can play in the NBA. And so he may not have been what they thought he should have been, but he definitely was supposed to be in the NBA because he made $66 million. And so that's not a bust. So we need to stop looking at each other, picking at each other, milling at each other, and trying to determine somebody's status by what we see, especially when we're not even in the game. And that goes to say my point about what I'm finna say next. Because we are broken people, because we are a people under captivity, everything and everything about us is broken. Our relationships, no matter what those relationships are, our health care, our education, our communities, everything about us is broken. And you have to come to terms with that. You have to come to terms. We're broken people. And what do broken things do? They try to get fixed up. And see, the word of Yah helps you to get fixed up so you can be the best that you can be. Because if we continue along in this merry-go-round that we're inundated with and we're born into this, no let up, traumatized every minute of every day of every hour in this universal captivity. And you have to admit this. I'm traumatized. I'm messed up. I don't even know how to have a good relationship, no matter what that relationship is, with the Creator, with my wife, with my husband, with my family, with my community. I'm in total disarray because, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, if you know anything about a military occupation, no matter if you're going and you're taken away from someone and you're placed in their environment and you're inundated with violence, mistreatment and abuse and domination, from the cradle to the grave in every aspect of your life, it goes without saying. We need to give each other a break and stop meddling and picking with each other and try to help rebuild one another. And the Most High says that. You need to help rebuild one another. Truth be told. Well, I'm going to bring my brother and friend on Cartrell from New York City. May the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yom Suf Ari. May the Most High bless you and your family.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. May he bless you and yours also.
I appreciate that.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate you.
It don't matter what level we on, huh? Millionaire or poor in the street.
It doesn't matter.
Still have the same problems.
It doesn't matter.
They should have left Kwame Brown alone. He ain't do nothing to nobody. He wasn't talking about them.
Right.
You're going to call his brother out. Charlamagne, he ain't never made the NBA. And Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson.
That's the one.
No, that's the brotherhood.
Yeah, that's the one, Matt Barnes. Pretty boy. He called it Baker with the good hair. I ain't calling that. But that's what Kwame called it Baker with the good hair. The bars looking so and so. That was Kwame said. I ain't calling him that.
Yeah, so he got dirty laundry on them. They trying to bring out his dirty laundry.
Oh man, he sure put Charlamagne out there about that 15-year-old girl he was involved with, and he gave a rape drug. I don't know if it's true or not that he gave a date rape drug and raped a 15-year-old girl, and then talk about it like he did something special. On his little podcast, he sure put him out there.
People that get on him because he does that. They call him a pedophile. He's a disgrace to brothers because that ain't how a man's supposed to do. Put a knockout drink in a woman and then sleep with her. No, that's not how it works, Doc. That's rape.
Because if you put something in one of my daughters, knock them out. You better hope the folks get you before I do. Okay.
Yeah, you're talking about millionaires, though, but this is what they do.
Yeah.
Multi-millionaires. You would think that, money would help us with our psychological, spiritual problems?
Right.
But you can see by their dialogue and the things that they say that we got problems.
Real big problems.
So, and you see why, these brothers, they don't turn back to the community to help the community because somebody needs to help them. With the rhetoric they talking about. Come on, man. Our people are in trouble in our community. And y'all put that stuff out in the public. I mean, that's why the Most High tells us, thou shalt not gossip.
Right.
Why are you talking about that, brother?
Yeah, that's gossiping. You all in that brother business. I mean, that brother retired from the league. He minding his own business. He ain't talking about nailing one of y'all. And y'all got to put him out there. Now you wish he hadn't said nothing about it. Okay?
Yeah, so got to watch your words.
Exactly.
They're talking about that, right? The power of words.
We say it all the time on this study session, Kadra. You better watch what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Kadra, if you're done with your commentary, I certainly am. We'll move right into our study sessions, shall we?
Yes, sir.
All right, Kadra, fellow students. If you will, turn to chapter 9 of 1 Kings. So, when King Solomon made the Most High blessings by his word, and most important, after study, the application of his word, you have to apply what you study. Theory alone is not good. Theoretical application is not enough. You have to apply the word in order to see the development of the word. When King Solomon had finished building the house of Yah and his royal palace, and everything that King Solomon had set his heart on constructing, Yah appeared to King Solomon a second time, as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. Yah said to him, "I've heard the prayer and the supplication which you offered to me. I consecrate this house which you have built, and I set my name there forever, forever. My eyes and my heart shall ever be there, no ending. As for you, you in particular," and it can apply to all of us, "if you walk," meaning live before me, "as your father, King David, walked, lived before me, completely, wholeheartedly, in conjunction with uprightness, your action, doing all that I have commanded you, and keeping my laws and my rules, then I will establish your throne of kingship over Israel forever, as I promised your father, King David, saying, your line on the throne of Israel shall never end. But there's always that proverbial but if you and your descendants turn away from me, in conjunction, do not keep the commandments and the laws which I have set before you, and you go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will sweep Israel off the land which I gave them," which has happened. "I will reject the house which I have consecrated to my name. And in conjunction, Israel shall become a proverb," just like the Kwame Brown situation, a proverb, "among all people." Not some of the people, all the people gonna talk about y'all. And university, wherever y'all at, everybody always talking about y'all. Y'all ain't about nothing. And the Kwame Brown incident is indicative of what I'm saying. "And as for this house, once so exalted, everyone passing by it shall be appalled," and it certainly is that case, "and hiss. And when they ask, why did the Elohim do thus to the land in conjunction in this house?" Both of them are connected. "They shall be told, the people, it is because they forsook Yah, their Elohim, who freed them from the land of Mizraim. In conjunction, they embraced other gods and worshiped them," as we still do, "serve them. Therefore, the Elohim has brought all this calamity upon them." As Cartier and I just said, all this calamity, this brokenness that we are afflicted with, is upon us. "At the end of the 20 years during which King Solomon constructed," it took him 20 years, "the two buildings of the house of Yah and the royal palace, since King Hiram of Tyre had supplied King Solomon with all the cedar and cypress trees and gold that he required, King Solomon in turn gave Hiram 20 towns in the region of Galilee. But when King Hiram came from Tyre to inspect the towns that King Solomon had given him, he was not pleased with them. And he said, my brother," that's the kind of relationship they had. He said, my brother, he said, what sort of town? Yeah, go ahead, Cartrell.
No, that's how we talk. Two kings.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we still talk like that today. People we don't
exactly.
know.
Exactly.
You go someplace where you don't see nobody that look like you, then you see somebody look like you. Hey, what's up, brother?
What's up, brother? You ain't lying, Katrina. You ain't
yeah.
lying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was in Puerto Rico, I think about 2013, and when I saw the Puerto Ricans, and when I saw Puerto Ricans look like me, I said, what's up, bro? You ain't lying, Cadrillo. And they were speaking Spanish. I said, no comprende. What's up, bro? And
yeah, I was in Mexico.
Yeah.
And I ain't see too many brothers that look like me while I
right.
was down there. And
right.
while I was there, they thought I was Pelé. Every block I passed, Pelé, Pelé. I'm like, nah, I'm not Pelé. Don't kick no soccer balls at me because I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, throw me a football. And King Harum of Ty said, my brother, he said, what sort of towns are these you have given me? So they were named the land of Cuba.
And Kabul.
Kabul. And still the case. However,
that means,
go ahead, Gadriel.
They not worth anything. Worthless. Kabul means worthless.
Cold-blooded, Gadriel. Cold-blooded. However, King Harris said the king 120 talents of gold. This was the purpose of the forced labor which King Solomon posed. It was to build the house of the Elohim and his own palace, the Milo, and the wall of Jerusalem, and to fortify Hazar, Megiddo, Gezer. Pharaoh, king of Mizraim, had come up and captured Gezer. He destroyed it by fire and killed the Canaanites who dwelt in the town and gave it as a dowry to his daughter, King Solomon's wife. So King Solomon fortified Gezer, Lower Beth-horon, Belit, and Tamar in the wilderness in the land of Yehuda. And all of King Solomon's garrison towns, chariot towns, and cavalry towns, we had cavalry, everything that King Solomon set his heart on building in Jerusalem and in Lebanon, throughout the territory that he ruled. All the people that were left of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, who were not of Israel's stock, those of their descendants who remained in the land whom Israel were not able to annihilate, of these, King Solomon made a slave force, as is still the case at that time of this writing. But he did not reduce any Israelites to slavery. He did not reduce them into forced slavery. They served rather as warriors and as attendants, officials, officers, and as commanders of his chariotry and cavalry. These were the perfects, the governors that were in charge of King Solomon's work and were foreman over the people engaged in the work, who numbered 550. As soon as Pharaoh's daughter went up from the city of Dawood to the palace that he had built for her, he built the Milo. King Solomon used to offer burnt offerings and sacrifice of well-being three times a year on the altar that he had built for the Elohim. And he used to offer incense on the one that was before the Elohim. And he kept the house in repair, the temple. King Solomon also built a fleet of ships. We had a navy. It's at Ezion Geba, which is near Eloth, on the shore of the Sea of Reeds, in the land of Edom. Harum, King Harum, sent servants of his with the fleet, these people knew about mariners. And so they taught us, who were experienced on the sea. And they were to serve with King Solomon's men, serving and teaching them. They came to Ophir, where they obtained gold in the amount of 420 talents, which they delivered to King Solomon. This man, brother, had a lot going on, Cartrio. I mean, he was a jack of all trades, so it seems, the master of one. He was into everything, building, maintaining a cavalry and chariots, and maintaining governors in the land, maintaining the people, putting a fleet of ships on the sea under the tutelage of King Haran's men, teach us seafaring, because they were experienced in this activity. King Solomon, in the time of peace, was building up the land, Cartrio. What say you, my brother?
And he was a good king. He didn't make his own people slaves.
No.
He made the people that we conquered, you know, slaves, but they wasn't slaves like we were here in America.
No,
chattel slaves.
Totally unlike Deborah. So you couldn't mistreat those people. Although you made a slave, you couldn't kill them, you couldn't whip them, and you couldn't do a whole lot of things. You had to treat them right, and if they had something against you, they could bring you before the court system, okay? You know, you didn't have police running around beating the brakes off them and shooting them down just for the sake of getting away with it and all that, what they're doing to us here. You had a system totally unlike this so-called system in America, totally unlike.
And they're still looking for King Solomon's gold mine.
The Ophir?
Yeah, we read how he decked everything in the temple with gold. I mean, the floor, the walls, furniture. It's like, man, so much gold.
I'm
looking for the mines of King Solomon.
Well, Katra, I thought about something, you know, today. And I thought about the building today. We had floors. We didn't have just dirt floors, as they tried to allude to. The Greeks created civilization. By the looks of it, the Greeks are the cradle of civilization. I beg to differ.
Western civilization.
Western. Oh, okay. What, I don't know what that means. It's a plan. Right. Okay. Well, but my thing is this. Our brothers and sisters knew about flooring in the house. Their building techniques were excellent. You're a builder. And they had floorings. They had wood floorings. And they had stone floorings, tile, what you may call tile today. So these brothers were new to it. They weren't sleeping in grass huts and whatnot, as some like to suggest. They were sleeping mighty high on the hog, if you ask me. Now, I don't want to use hog. Mighty high on the lamb chops. Okay? What do you say, Cartrio?
That's a fact. As a matter of fact, like you said, I'm a builder. And
right.
I know for a fact that the whole Masonic order comes
mm-hmm.
from the building of this temple.
Right.
And their credit skills that these men had to put the temple together, they started that order, the Masonic order.
Right. Well, you know, Cartrio, the Mizarines were the slack at their building skills, Iser. And so for them to say that Greece is the cradle of Western civilization is a laughable. I mean, the Mizarines, I'm not taking anything away from them. They wasn't slack at their building the efforts Iser, okay?
When they say the Greeks are the cradle of Western civilization, it's true.
Right.
They don't talk about the cradle of Eastern civilization, the Sumerians, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Egyptians, the Ethiopians, the Canaanites. These people were way before the Greeks and had master skills. They still trying to figure out how they built the pyramids and how they cut stone that you got to cut with diamonds today. How they do
right.
it? They don't
right.
know.
No, they don't know, guys.
The Greeks were the closest ones to that African continent. Yes.
Right.
If you look at the map, Greece and Italy, they're the two European nations that's closest to the continent of Africa. And that's
right.
where Alexander the Great went, right? He went to Egypt.
Right. Right.
And they said that Egypt had 9/10 of the world's knowledge.
Right.
So all these philosophers from Greece came down into Egypt and learned medicine and mathematics and astrology and astronomy and all of that and took it back to their people.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
So yeah, that's a part of history that they don't teach you in Western institutions, right? So we're looking for black history in school, but why don't they teach you about the Egyptians? Why don't they teach you about the Babylonians? Why don't they teach you about the Sumerians, who they give credit for, you know, initiating writing? Why don't they teach you about that in elementary school? No, they start out with all these lies. Christopher Columbus discovered America in 1492. He sailed the ocean blue. You'd be lying.
And why don't they
came down to Africa and civilized the savages, the black man, and gave them Christianity? Oh, that's a lie.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't they tell people about King Hiram? Man and his nation were seafaring people. They were skilled. Right. They were skilled at seafaring and whatnot, and how to travel the seas. And so
why can't find King Solomon's mind, because they didn't know where he went on the planet. He had ships.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they knew how to keep a secret, didn't they, Katria? Don't nobody know what an Oprah mind is at? You know what I mean?
Speculating. They've been looking for it for a long time. They made movies out of it. King Solomon's Mind.
Right. And I tell you what, it must have been a rich... But you know what? Think about this, Cartier. This man was very intelligent. He knew about geography. He knew about rocks. He knew about dirt. He knew about birds. He knew about what would be the best place to strike and reach, because he knew about geography and whatnot. And so by him being the wisest man in the world, he knew what to send his ships to. He knew what to send his miners to. And he knew where they would strike it rich. I mean, a mother load. And he saw it because he was a smart fellow. Okay?
He could talk to the birds. Maybe a little bird told him. A little birdie told him.
Yeah, a little bird flew through the window. I see gold in their heels. Maybe he did, Katria. Maybe he did. Yo,
they just found a mountain of gold in Gambia, bro.
Show here, bro. You sure right. They have found a mountain of gold in Gambia. You reckon that's why the Chinese are over there? Mistreating
them. Yeah, the Chinese over there, they just showed an article where the Chinese built the UA headquarters, right?
Right.
And they built this headquarter, I forget which African nation, but they put computer servers in there that they left a back door open where they could access everything in the computer system. So all the emails are going to Shanghai, every correspondence, what people are saying. They've been doing that for 5 years, and an engineer in Africa caught it.
You can't trust nobody that country. I mean, the Gambians have been mistreated quite recently, to my studies, especially with the Germans. The Germans, man, mistreated those brothers and sisters over there so bad, Cartel.
Could those people go to Germany and do the same thing to the Germans?
Hell to the no. You bet not.
All right, so something's wrong then. How could the Germans go into their country and do what they want to do? But they can't go into Germany and do what they want to do. Something's wrong.
Something ain't right.
Because the wealth is in the land that you're living in Africa, the richest continent on the planet.
Right.
And they're using psychological, military, and all kind of warfare to take advantage of the people and the wealth that's there.
Just like the Chinese are doing. The Chinese are taking advantage of the Gambians. The way they talk to them, the way they mistreat them and abuse them and dominate them.
But you know what?
Yo, Cartel.
The Most High don't like it. The Most High has given everybody an inheritance that they should enjoy. Don't go into another man's land and take what the Most High has given them.
Right.
But that's what they do.
And I agree with you. The Germans had no business being over there. And certainly the Chinese have no business being over there, taking advantage of those people, okay?
Can they go to China and do what they want to do in China?
You bet not, and you better believe it.
All right, Cottrell, fellow students, let us continue.
It's called sovereignty. It's called sovereignty.
It is. Sovereignty, sovereign nations. Well, you know what? When you got these corrupt leaders in these countries that don't have people's best interests at heart, these are the outcomes. These leaders, these despot leaders of some of these so-called nations in Africa certainly don't have the interest. I mean, some of these people are living in dire poverty. These leaders are only interested, some of these leaders in their own position, feathering their own nest at the expense of their own people. Such a travesty, country. Such a travesty.
It's more than a travesty. It's a tragedy. These dudes are supposed to represent their people. They are the blood and bones of their people. And
exactly.
They're selling out their wealth, the wealth of their people.
Their heritage.
Yeah.
They're selling out their heritage.
For some chump change.
Let me give you.
Because the wealth of your nation is going to make you richer than what they're giving you.
Exactly. So let me give you all some idea what Cartier and I talk about. Say, for instance, their leaders make a deal with the World Bank Organization. The World Bank Organization tells them what they put on the market and what they can't put on the market. They don't put on the market what they said that they want on the market, where they are penalized as a result because they borrowed all this money and given them all this money. So they're penalized for not putting the product on the market, even if it's a hereditary product that they have made or created in their land. They're reduced to not even creating that. They're reduced to not even creating things to help feed their own people. They have to buy it on the market even when they can produce it in their own land. So that's madness. But that's the way they do it.
There's two ways they do it. They got economic hitmen.
Mm-hmm.
World Bank gives loans to these nations to develop their natural resources.
Right.
The World Bank controls the market.
Exactly.
So they could adjust the price so that you cannot pay back that loan. And when you
exactly.
can't pay a bank back a loan, you go into a default. And of course,
right.
When you're in default and you can't pay back a loan, the bank takes over the property, right?
And the military is behind that to take care of you on that. Ask Hawaii about Dole pineapple.
Ask Africa about the oil that they just found. And
exactly.
the big oil companies
right.
agreed to develop the oil, bring the oil up out the ground, and they get 80% and the nations get 20%.
All the gold. All the gold.
All the diamonds.
Blood, the blood diamonds.
Right.
And so
they get less than that, 1%.
Right. Right.
The people that work those mines get 1%.
So when Cartrell, I make statements to the effect that these leaders over there don't run nothing, we have evidence to prove that. These leaders over there don't run nothing. You may say, oh, they ain't running nothing. And you better believe it. All right, Cartrell, fellow students, let's continue, shall we? Chapter 10. Now, this woman, the Queen of Sheba, heard about King Solomon's fame and his wisdom through the name of the Elohim. And she came to test him with hard questions. She arrived in Jerusalem with a big, large retinue. She had camels bearing spices, a great quantity of gold, precious stones. When she came to King Solomon, she asked him all that she had in her mind. King Solomon had the answers for her questions. There was nothing that the king did not know, nothing to which he could not give her an answer. When the Queen of Sheba observed all of King Solomon's wisdom and the palace he had built, and the fat food on his table, the seating of his couriers, the service and the attire of his attendants, his wine service, and the burnt offering that he offered at the house of the Elohim, she was left breathless. Wow, man, this guy is bad. Ooh-wee, he is bad. this brother is bad. And she said, yeah. And she said to the king, the report I heard in my own land about you and your wisdom is true. But I did not believe the reports until I came and saw with my own eyes. Not even half the stuff they told me, what I had seen. Your wisdom and wealth surpassed the reports that I heard. How fortunate are your men? How fortunate are these your couriers, who are always in attendance on you and can hear your wisdom too. Praise be to Yah, your Elohim, who delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel. It is because of Yah's everlasting love for Israel, she even knew this, that he made you king to administer. Why? Not to think you're something special. He made you a king for a reason, to administer justice and righteousness. Not simply for the sake of being king, which you are obviously doing. She presented the king with 120 talents of gold, a quantity of spices, and precious stones. Never again did such vast quantity of spices arrive at that which the queen gave to King Solomon. Moreover, King Herod's fleet, which carried gold from Ophir, brought in Ophir a huge quantity of almug wood and precious stone. They were always on the hunt. The king used the almug wood for decoration in the house of Yah and in the royal palace. And he used it for harps and lyres for the musicians. Such a quantity of almug wood has never arrived or been seen to this day, nowhere. They found it, though. King Solomon, in turn, gave the queen of Sheba everything she wanted and asked for. In addition to what King Solomon gave her out of his royal bounty, then she and her attendants left and returned to her own land. The weight of the gold which King Solomon received every year, 666 talents of gold, a huge reservoir of gold. Besides what came from tradesmen, from the traffic of the merchants, and from all the kings of Arabia, and the governors of the region, King Solomon made 200 shields of beaten gold, 600 shekels of gold to each shield, 300 bucklers of beaten gold.
Means 10.
Right. 3 miners of gold to each buckler. The queen placed them in the Lebanon forest house, his home. Now, check this throne out. Ain't this a brother throne? You know this got to be a brother. He also made a large throne of ivory. He overlaid it with refined gold. 6 steps up to the throne. You had to walk up 6 steps to sit on the throne. And the throne had a back with a rounded top and arms on each side of the seat. 2 lions stood beside the arms. 12 lions stood on 6 steps, 6 on either side. I mean, this guy, man, that throne was awesome. I'd have loved to have seen it. No such throne.
All you got to do is Google it, bro. It's in there.
I'm going to do it right after the show.
They don't miss nothing.
Right after the show, Kytrell. No such throne was ever made. Hold on. I can't wait. I know. Y'all bear with me.
You're crazy, man.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah.
Okay,
you gotta see that
throne. Okay, I'm going to look at it. The throne of King... Throne of King Solomon. Y'all bear with me now. Yeah, y'all gonna be looking too now. What you waiting on me for? Hold on. Let me see. Ooh, wee. King Solomon, you a bad brother. Shut your mouth. King Solomon, you a bad brother. Shut your mouth. Gorgeous. King Solomon, bruh, you're a bad man.
So we see that Lebanon was part of ancient Israel.
Exactly.
Not so today.
No, not so today. But it was. And it was made known in our reading. There was no Lebanon, not in the sense of a country.
Mm-hmm.
Not like today.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they also made a lot sort of, he overlaid it with refined gold, 6 steps, okay. 2 lions stood beside the arms, 12 lions stood on the 6 steps, 6 on either side. No such throne was ever made for any other kingdom. All King Solomon's drinking cup were of gold. All the utensils of the Lebanon house were of pure gold. Silver did not count for anything in King Solomon. Hey, man,
yeah.
Oh, man, we don't want that, man. Get that out of here. And they had some of the gold. Hey, man, I got some silver. Hey, man, we don't want that. They're like pennies to us. Man, we don't want that. Them pennies. We don't want that.
Imagine rejecting silver.
Yeah, we don't want that, man. Everybody had it like that. Didn't nobody want no silver. And King Solomon's drinking cup was gold, and all the utensils of the Lebanon house were of pure gold. Silver did not count for anything in King Solomon's days. For the king had a Tarshish fleet. Only he had a fleet of ships along with Haran's fleet. He had his own fleet and King's Haran fleet. Once every 3 years, the Tarshish fleet came in bearing gold and silver. They brought ivory. They brought apes and peacock. King Solomon excelled all the kings on earth in wealth and in wisdom. All the world came to pay homage to King Solomon, all the world, and to listen to the wisdom with which Yah had endowed him. He didn't have to go to no university. And each one would bring his tribute. They would bring silver and gold objects. They would bring robes, weapons, and spices, horses, and mules. In the amount due every year, everybody would bring him something. King Solomon assembled chariots and horses. He had 1,400 chariots, 12,000 horses, which he stationed in the chariot towns with the king in Jerusalem. The king made silver as plentiful in Jerusalem as stones, and cedar as plentiful as common sycamores, and the Shephelah. King Solomon's horses were procured from Mazarim and Kuth. The king's dealers would buy them from Kuth at a fixed price. The chariots imported from Mazarim cost 600 shekels of silver, a horse 150. These in turn were exported by them to all the kings of the Hittites. He made a profit. I mean, King Solomon was a hustler, man. Like, he's buying dope on the market, chopping it up and selling. King Solomon was buying the chariots and the horses. He'd turn around and sell them, export them to the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Arameans, the Syrians. Man, this man was making money. It was coming from all ends, Cartrell. This man was making money hand over foot.
He used silver to buy the horses. He didn't use the gold.
No, he didn't use no gold, man. I'll take this silver. But he probably was taking gold back, Cartrell. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They just was bringing him gold. Crazy
exactly.
Amount.
Exactly. He was making a killing, Cartrell.
And he didn't have to go to war. These nations were like Haran. Well, aligned with him and the Tarshish, he had them under his dominion. And you're talking about a navy, the concept of a navy. This is the first time we're hearing that.
Right.
You think that Europeans started navies. No, we had a navy way before the American USA Navy.
Right.
And it wasn't that joining
right.
Navy stuff.
Right.
A lot of village people.
Right.
The Navy of King Solomon. They say King Solomon traveled the world, which is why you find relics of Israelite artifacts worldwide.
Right.
So it's amazing, man, that this history is not taught to our children and to our people to know how great our people used to be. We had kings. Matter of fact, we had one of the richest and wisest kings that ever lived. Most of our people don't know that. Could you imagine living in his time and listening to the wisdom? We read the Proverbs. Imagine him speaking it. Right?
Right.
So much so that the Queen of Sheba came to see how wise he was. And she was dumbfounded.
Right.
So we kind of dumbfounded when we read the Proverbs, but imagine him speaking. You know, it'd probably be like humbling because he could read you. He knew you, whether you were wise, whether you was a fool, whether you was, you know, he could just break you down just by how you talk and what you say and how you conduct yourself. He could break you down.
Well, that's why I say, Cottrell, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt, considering the circumstances that we're living in, to ask y'all for a little bit of wisdom and understanding that King Solomon had. It doesn't hurt to ask. Yeah.
And he prepared a table because it's here. I mean, you ain't got to go to sleep and wake up one morning and be like King Solomon. You could study, you know, get on track at least what, you know, what he left behind, because it's a whole lot.
Right.
And you could see that his wisdom was worth mad treasure, which is why we call it a treasure hunt, because you got people worldwide coming to see King Solomon for his wisdom. And here it is. We got it in a book.
Exactly. Well, Contrario, if you're done with your commentary, I certainly am, and we're looking forward to another study session in the book of Psalms by King David, his father.
Yes, the father of King Solomon, King David. Which shows the fruit don't fall too far from the tree.
Hallelujah.
King David was a writer, musician, warrior, multi-talented. So we're in the fifth psalm. Because I know we read four last night. But we love King David because he gives us the ways and the means to express ourselves to the Most High God. And he sets the pattern on how you should appeal when you're in trouble. And he sets a pattern because the fifth psalm shows you how he starts his day. How do we start our day? Do we start our day with a prayer to the Most High? And he's going to show you that even before he starts his day, he gives it up to the Most High. So we give thanks to the Most High for our King, King David, and the words and the wisdom that he imparted to his people by leaving these words and songs behind. Hallelujah. Give ear to my word, O Yah. Consider my meditation. So we know that King David meditated, and we need to learn how to meditate, to focus on our problems, focus on reaching Yah, and begin our days with meditation and prayer. They said, give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. So although King David was a king, he knew that the Most High God was his king and his power. For to you I will pray, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Yah. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. So that's how we should all start our day, with meditation and with prayer and getting direction from the Most High. It says, for you are not an Elohim, or God, who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. Boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. Yah abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. So we see in these four verses that the wicked tend to talk. They tend to be boastful. They tend to speak falsehood and be deceitful. And if you know people like that, you need to get away from them. Because the Most High is about to destroy them. The Most High abhors them. It says, but as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. And that's the only way you could really approach Yah. Not self-righteous, thinking that you're pure and holy and sanctified. Because we all have sin. Like King Solomon said prior, chapter we read today, that there is no man that does not sin. All men sin. So we come to Yah in his mercy because we've all done something. In fear of you, I will worship towards your holy temple. And this is King David speaking, which is why King Solomon made that prayer. When your people pray towards your holy temple, hear their cry and answer their prayer. Because King David was doing it way before King Solomon requested of the Most High for his people. King David always turned toward the tabernacle. It wasn't the temple at that time. The temple was the tabernacle in King David's time. And he always prayed towards the presence of where Yah was, whether it be the tabernacle or the temple that was finally finished, that we all should be praying towards. Lead me, O Yah, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. So you don't want to be led by your own inclination. You don't want to be led by your own thoughts and your own desires. You want Yah to guide your steps and to lead the way for you. For there is no faithfulness in their mouths. And we're talking about how people speak and what people say. No faithfulness in their mouth. The inward part is destruction because you can't see what's inside them. They may come up with flowery words, which the Western powers have done. They say one thing and do another. Their throat is an open tomb, so what they say can kill you. They flatter with their tongue, buttering you up for the kill. Pronounce them guilty, O Yah. Let them fall by their own counsel. And what is counsel? Counsel is when you talk about things and plot things and scheme things, again, it's coming out their mouth. What is their counsel? What are they saying? What are they plotting? What are they scheming? And if it's evil and wicked, we ask Yah to pronounce them guilty. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, but they have rebelled against you. We're talking about all mankind, which is why he told Noah to build this ark, because I'm destroying them, because they're evil from the youth. Mankind, they don't listen to me. They don't obey me. They're not following me. They don't listen to me. So we're in that generation again, like unto the times of Noah. Everybody is doing what they want, when they want, how they want, and whatever they want to do. But let all those who rejoice, who put their trust in you. How many people out there trust Yah? How many people out there know Yah? How many people out there know that they're required to trust your Creator? Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Yeah, your Creator will defend you if you line yourself up with Him, if you put your trust in Him. Not man, not mankind's doctrine, not religion, but put your trust in the true and living God, the creator of heaven and earth. That those also who love your name, what is the creator of the universe name? Do we know his name? It's not Jesus, because Jesus was not the creator. You better find out his name if you don't know it. And we say, Yah, that's the beginning of one of his names. But you should know the Most High's name, and you should love his name and praise it like people praise Jesus' name, because Jesus is not God. The name we should be praising is the name of our Elohim. Be joyful in you. We should be joyful in our Creator. For you, O Yah, will bless the righteous. That goes contrary to Christianity, because they say that Jesus died for all the sins of mankind. And there's no thought of following the righteous path in that. You could just put your trust and faith in Jesus, and you'll get to heaven. That's not what this is saying here. The Most High says he's going to bless the righteous. You have to make the attempt and the effort to walk the path of righteousness like King David, unlike King Saul, because he was not a righteous man. He did not walk the path of righteousness, nor did Joab, nor did all the other characters that we read who did not walk the righteous path. Yah caught up with them. And Yah will give you a chance to walk that righteous path, but the path of the wicked is going to be destroyed. And we read that in this chapter as well. So, Yah will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him. As long as you walk the righteous path, you do the right thing. You don't walk the path of wickedness. You don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Your mouth doesn't speak faithful or deceitful things. The Most High will protect you. And you have to call on him early. King David said, in the morning, when I arise, I call on Yah. And that should be our habit as well. So we give thanks again to the pattern of our King and his powerful words that he communicated with the Most High Yah. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah, Cottrell. Praise Yah. Well, thank you, Cottrell. You're right. You need to know the name to call on to get any solution from your problems. Just call on any name, especially the name that your enemy give you. It's ludicrous. And Cottrell is certainly right. You need to know your God. You need to call on your God by his name, and not a name that your enemy chooses to give you, and you buy everything that he says. Oh, that's it. Okay, well, I call on him then. Since he's helping you, he's going to help me. Whatever. All right, Cottrell. Thank you, my brother and friend. Fellow students, thank you for studying right along with Cottrell and I. We're happy to present these studies to you in detail so you can get a bird's eye, so you can immerse yourself into these studies. And it becomes secondly, like you're part of it, and you are part of it, and you should apply it in order to get some solutions from them. But Cottrell, do you have any commentary before we get out of here?
Off the top of my head, not really. We're going into some judgmental times. Every day is a day closer to the day of judgment, and we have time to get ourselves together to correct, you know, the path that we're on, and the Most High's mercy endures forever. So we need to lean on that. We need to learn how to pray. We need to learn how to call on the Most High. We need to learn how to meditate. Slow down. Get out the rat race and get into your mind. We pray that the Most High will cause these lessons to be beneficial to us and us reassociating ourselves with the Most High, because we need him now more than ever.
Hallelujah. All right, fellow students, Cottrell and I, we are happy to bring these studies to you. And we have an old saying on this study session. We can lead a horse to the water, but we can't make it drink. It's up to you to drink. It's up to you to make the application. We presented it to you. We're not going to argue, fuss, and fight with you about it. Either accept it or you don't. You know, and it's that's that on that. That being said, Cottrell and I, we don't know where y'all going. But we do know this for a certainty. You're getting ready to get out of here. You've been listening to the Real Talk for Real People study show. May the Most High bless you, direct you, and order your step by virtue of it, so you can stop leaning to your own understanding. So in order to help facilitate that, we suggest at the end of all these study sessions that you pray to Yah, like King Darwin did, and you ask for a new heart and spirit that loves the Most High with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your brothers and sisters as yourself, that continually thirst after righteousness. That is the heart and mind that you need to help facilitate these studies. And we pray that you ask for that. We love you. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night.
We're broken people now.
Won't never be nothing, ain't that something? I've risen from the bottom, I got him, eyes on the prize, and inside him, damn right I overcame. Y'all know the name, we similar but never been the same. Everybody, yeah, they know the name, right now. I'ma make it somehow, make it some way. Yeah, you know we gon' get it today, like I'm all on my own now. But won't ever let you down, won't let you down,
down, down.
Yes, I've been through it, they know I do it for the people I'm fighting, so we be equal for my son and my sequel, and anybody who listening in they system like venom, I get in them and spread viciously, this is
we're
me.
We're broken people now. We're burning out.
back at it. Young Logic, the rap addict, giving it every part of myself on the real. You would think I'd be asthmatic, allergic to your bullshit. Yeah, that's right, I done had it. Real all the time, if you rep it, get it, cat it right now. It's right here, a vibe right now. I am too alive right now, I'm alive right now. Come on, feel the vibe right now. Feel the vibe, feel the vibe, feel the vibe. Yes, I've been through it, they know I do it for the people I'm fighting. So we be equal for my son and my sequel. And anybody who listening in they system like venom, I get in them and spread viciously. This is
we're
me.
We're broken people now. We're burning out. So cold I'm bleeding now. Gonna let you down. Broken, we ain't beaten. There's no glory in defeat. We won't fall into the cracks between our streets.